Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
WTIC, good afternoon. Todd here, fired up. You know why I'm psyched? You want to know why I'm really excited? The reason I'm excited is because first conference isn't until 4 o'clock. Ned does his daily dance at 4, and then the president at 5. So that means we have an hour right now we can talk. I've got a bunch of things to talk to you about. If you have anything you want to react to, bring up something that's been on your mind about this virus, anything you've seen in terms of political hypocrisy you want to bring to our attention, anything like that. This is the time. Please, just call and talk. I'm so dying to just do normal talk radio, and I hate having these politicians. I know they view the airtime during my show is very valuable, so they schedule their press conferences, the governor and the president do, to make sure they're getting this huge audience at WTIC, but it aggravates me because I like to have you to myself. President Trump today found out that Mitt Romney, I had the same reaction, I have to say. When I heard that Mitt Romney was self-isolating for 2 weeks because he had been exposed to Rand Paul, and even though he tested negative, the guidelines are that you're supposed to self-isolate, self-lock yourself in the closet. And Mitt's out of commission. I hear Mitt's self-isolating, self-quarantining for 2 weeks. And I say, well, this is great. You know, there's silver linings. You have to look for silver linings in life. That's how life works. You've got to be excited and upbeat and positive.
Okay.
So this is the president being told this today.
Okay.
On top of Senator Paul, now four senators are in isolation, and the rules say that in order to vote, they have Senator Lee,
Senator Gardner, and
Rick Scott. Also, two of them were in contact with
Rick is
with
coming Rick. Out.
With the critical stimulus package vote expected,
Romney's in isolation.
Yes.
Gee, that's too bad. Go ahead.
Detect sarcasm there,
no.
Sir?
No, none whatsoever.
That's what I said, too. I know that's bad. You're not supposed to be like that. Because, you know, you don't punch your opponent when he's down. But he's not down. Mitt's not down. Mitt's perfectly content. He's a Mormon. Mormons are, you know, they live in those pristine environments and keep the doors locked. Anyway. What else do I want to share before we took calls? Let's see. Oh, Cuomo. I had it in my promo, but maybe you didn't. Cuomo was just spectacular. He was just so delightful yesterday, didn't you think?
I look at actions, not words. They're doing the supplies. Here's my question. Where are they? Where are the ventilators? Where are the gowns? Where's the PPEs? Where are the masks? Where are they? Where are they if they're doing it? And by the way, Peter Navarro, we want to work with companies. Fine, work with companies.
You notice he's sounding a lot like Trump. He's being aggressive. He's attacking people. And he's being rude about how he's being treated by the federal government.
The country needed materials to go to war. They didn't, when we went to war, we didn't say, any company out there want to build a battleship? Who wants to build a battleship? Maybe a couple of you guys could get together and build a battleship. Maybe a couple of you guys could get together and build us some missiles. Maybe, you think. Anybody want to build a plane? You know, we're going to need planes. They're sending planes at us and they're dropping bombs. Anybody want to do that?
I like this Cuomo. I like this Andrew Cuomo. I think it's good. He's a lot like Trump. He sounds like what a leader should be. Should you be? And by contrast, I'll just throw this out quickly. What exactly has Ned done to prepare the state for the virus? For example, producer Mike sent me this wonderful story. Laid off due to COVID-19. The wait for benefits is 3 weeks. Connecticut Department of Labor triples unemployment staff, but backlog still grows. Swamped with more than 100,000 new unemployment claims in the past week due to COVID-19 closings, the Department of Labor's average time to process a claim has jumped from more than 3 days to at least 3 weeks. Now, that wouldn't have been anticipated, could it? You couldn't prepare for this and actually deliver quickly. They talk compassion. They don't know anything about how to give compassion except to take, to steal it and divert it to their voters. But they don't know how to actually deliver services. They're frauds. Am I right or am I wrong? 860-229-842. I'll tell you what I would do. If I were Ned's, of course I would never be, but this is why, because I would give advice like this. If I were Ned's chief of staff, I would have shut down these daily briefings, at least from the governor's office. You know, let the people who know what's going on do it. And get everybody in his office suite over to the Department of Labor and just sit at a desk and help. Let people go in and meet the governor and let him. You know, if he did that, he would find out how government works, at least in some way. And he would also understand people and build some compassion and feel some direct connection to what he's doing. This is what you do when you actually are a business person. You clean the bathroom if it's dirty. You don't sweat it if it's somebody else's job. If you're the business person, if you're the owner, how about doing that, Ned? Then you'd look like a governor, a leader to me. 860-522-9842, Justin, New Hartford. Hi, Justin.
Hi, Todd. Healthy quarantine to you. Hope everything's going well.
Why, thank you. I live in permanent quarantine. It's just me and the newspapers and the radio.
I live with three kids under three, so it's interesting.
You are a permanent virus.
So I was calling in because I don't know if this was a national news article or a state news article, but did you hear about them opening up dormitories, school dormitories, to be able to?
Yeah, they're doing this in New York, but all over the country, you're trying to find beds.
Well, I originally kind of criticized the decision to send the school students home in the first place, because it didn't make sense logically to me that you're sending home a bunch of kids that aren't at risk for fatalities, per se, and could be carrying the virus at the same time, and sending them home to at-risk aged people, namely parents and grandparents. And it seemed like it was just illogical in the fact that they would be spreading it even more, and you can keep them at school and keep the kind of business as usual while being quarantined, and they could keep going to school.
Okay.
Now it seems like they're flip-flopping to where they're opening up the dormitories to accept people that actually have it. It's mind-boggling to me.
Well, wait a sec. These are two different concepts. They sent the kids home to get, in retrospect, I was more in your camp when they did it. When they sent the kids home, I thought better to keep them on campus, let them live their lifestyle in their little enclosed community. But then they would have been going home. They would have been going home for spring break. They would have been going home because they miss mommy and daddy. And you would have been in the situation where you have to stop. Like right now, Florida is telling people if you fly down there, you've got to be quarantined for 14 days. And so it's better for everybody to be home rather than in a situation where they need to travel. And as it turns out, they need these beds for hospital rooms. So from that point of view, it's working out okay.
Yeah, I realize there's different aspects that may sound like they're better, but at the same time, it seems like you're increasing the risk for it spreading when you send them
to
more people, and especially more people that are at risk.
You can certainly make that argument. It's a reasonable argument. But I think that kind of weighs against you a little bit when you think about that the kids go home. And then what do they do when they're home? They want to hang out with their friends. They want to go out and get something to eat. You know, all those things that kids normally want to do, it's much harder to constrain them. And then they're around their parents and grandparents where they can, yes, spread the disease, but at least they're being watched over and they're contained in their own community. And if you had them inside their dorms, you had them running around town, and then they go home, you'd be increasing their exposure. And then when they eventually do disperse, I think this was the backbone of the dish, that eventually they would go home. Eventually they would have to shut down the school, so better to do it early.
I guess, but I would also argue, you know, how much are they going to be able to control them at home as far as going out and stuff? I think that still happens regardless. So,
it's a
whatever. But
you know,
I'd also like to throw out a shout out and a plug to my wife, who is a nurse in the hospital system as well, that's dealing with this, and to all those healthcare workers that are dealing with it.
Well, how about you? You've been with it too. There's risk. I mean, she comes home, and you've got to be worried about her coming home too, right?
Right, exactly. But I have an essential job myself, or deemed essential, and I got to keep going to work every day too. Not complaining about it, not really worried about it, but more worried for other people.
Yes.
So it's
amazing what medical workers are doing. Thank you for making that point. 8522982. No, it is incredible because they're on the front lines. You know, this is the big vulnerability that there is for treating COVID and for its expansion because of the weakening of the healthcare system as the healthcare workers start getting sick themselves. 860-522-9842. We'll just take a little break and continue the conversation on WTIC. WTIC. Todd with you. We're just talking this hour because, thankfully, there is no press conference by any bigwig who wants my airtime this hour. 4 o'clock, Ned goes. 5 o'clock, the Prez. But we never know about the Prez. All right, who's next here? It is Bill in Weathersfield. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Todd. We've covered Cuomo. I think he's just whining. You know, he should be out there ordering his stuff himself, and you know, this person's just turning into big government. Well, he is big government. He's the state of New York.
That's right.
But
he is big government.
I still think he should be out there, order himself. You know, obviously we want what the government can send, but the feds can send him as well. But he needs to take control of his state and have his people putting in the orders. And I'm sure he could do. Seeing this down the road, you know, it just didn't happen that they have all these sicknesses in the city or New York.
No, I'm with you on that. And Cuomo also, there's a story out there saying that Cuomo had a chance to buy himself a bunch of the ventilator. What do you call them? The breathing machines, respirators. He had a chance to buy a bunch of those a couple of years ago, and he didn't exercise the opportunity. So it's easy for him to run around and blame other people, and they're all doing this. But my point really is this. Between Ned, who does these wimpification press conferences every day, and
right.
and somebody like Cuomo, who's actually standing up demanding that his state get in shape in some ways, I like the guy who's making noise and throwing elbows.
Yeah, the squeaky wheel always gets the oil. And, you know, Governor Lamont, as you're right, he's not saying anything. So why are we going to get any oil or get anything? And it's all going to go to Cuomo or whatever state hollering louder.
Yes. But
and it didn't.
They quit offering leadership and finding resources within their own states.
Right. Absolutely. Didn't Cuomo put in executive order for that President Trump's judges couldn't do something? Maybe that's why they only got 400 respirators, because it was a little payback for his.
I'm not sure.
Trump judges can't do a weddings or can't do something.
Thank you, Bill. I'll hear from you. 605-2982. I want phone please give calls. We've just got this hour to chat, and then the governor breaks in. Okay? George in Canton. Hi, George.
Greetings, Todd. Rush calls himself, you know, the mayor of Realville, so I'll be first selectman of Realville.
Well, that's good.
We're in a state that the $124 billion unfunded business, I don't know how we were going to get out of it before this debacle. But I see, and I'm a self-employed man for 43 years. I have no employees. I have a little service business for beauty salons. They've shut beauty salons down. I'm effectively out of work. But these companies, these little businesses, mom-and-pop places, small businesses that are out of business 3-4 weeks, restaurants and so forth, and they're in their 60s or 70s, and they say, you know, I have no energy to reopen. They're going to close the little shops, and they're going to use this as their last reason to leave Connecticut, and we're going to have more negative flow out of the state. I don't see how we can right this ship at all now. And forgive me for being, I don't like to think of it as pessimism, just realism. I mean, Stefanowski, vote him in next time. He can't turn this ship around. What do you think was going to happen to us? We have, those of us that can't leave are going to have to be here. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think the worse things get, the better. And not for the folks living here, but for the turnaround. So if you want to turn something around, rock bottom is the best place to be. The problem with the Democrats is they can always find more money to steal to cover up what they're doing wrong. And that's what tolls was supposed to be, is the latest cover-up money, right? But that we shut off that slush fund, and the hope is you can squeeze them to the point where they have to start doing something that's right, like cutting spending.
Well, but Todd, come on. You know, if you're addicted, if you're an alcoholic, they have AA meetings for alcoholics, and what you do is you keep out of bars and you go to meetings. There's no such thing as that for liberals.
Well, to stay with your analogy, though, when you crash, when you hit rock bottom, whether there's AA there or not, that's when you have a shot to turn things around.
Well, and the liberals are kind of like the virus. They kill the host. When the host dies, the virus dies. The liberals are going to kill this state, and they will die with it.
Well, I think that they don't care what they do to the state, because they keep winning elections. Natalie West Hartford. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
What's going on?
Well, I'm one of the small businesses that had to shut down for the past couple of weeks, and it's starting to hurt. You know,
it's
It's
awful, but they've got these programs coming. Will you be able to partake of any of these, do you know?
Well, hopefully. I mean, we don't know how much bureaucracy we're going to have to deal with. I mean, they make promises. It's until, you know, they really have to deliver, that's when we have problems. You know?
Well, you are correct there, yes.
So that's my only concern. I mean, I understand on one hand that they had to shut things down, but, Mike, you know, it's like, even like with New York, we know New York is a hot spot, but he's refusing to even curtail the flow out of New York into Connecticut. So why shut things down if you're not really taking care of the residents of Connecticut? That's my concern.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you control that except to order people to do things. And if they ignore it, they ignore it. How many people did you have to lay off?
I haven't laid anybody off. I'm going to make sure my people are paid, because there's some employees who've been with me. I've been in business almost 22 years. So I am, you know, biting the bullet, trying to keep people on. So I'm trying not to have to do that. So that's, as I said, I mean, if it really comes to fruition and they really help the small businesses, I won't have to lay anybody off.
Oh, well, that would be a beautiful thing. How many people are you employing?
I have 4.
That's
yeah,
wonderful.
Really,
you're
small.
Keeping them all working. Good luck with that. I hope you're able to tap.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. I hope you're able to tap into this money. What are they doing?
I mean, from my reserves, you know. So, you know, I do have emergency funds. So, you know, I'm going to have to try at least and pay them, you know, for the weeks that they're off, and try and catch up when things get back on track. That's you know, it's really tough, but that's how it is.
Well, good luck with it, Natalie, and thank you so much for giving us a call and for listening to WTIC. 860-522-9842. News time on News Talk 1080.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Okay. We've got another half hour before the governor's press conference, so let's talk, please. I want to hear from everybody. We've got some open phone lines now. People dropped off during the news. 860-522-9842. Your reaction. The Department of Labor triples their unemployment staff, but the backlog is it takes 3 weeks instead of 3 days to get your first unemployment payment. Now, it would seem to me that this is one of the that a government that was actually run, like if you run something, you sit down with people who are your staff. That is, they departments inside of your organization that you run. You sit down with them and you say, what are the problems going to be? What is going to happen when you get 100 times the customer load? What's going to break down? What hole do we need to fill? This is called managing. I'm sure Ned has no experience with it, but that's what you do. You anticipate problems. You lay them out. You make plans to mitigate in advance, and then you put those plans into effect. So when the wave comes, you don't get overwhelmed by the wave. Why is that not done? Why are there people? They claim to care so much. They go and pass these pieces of legislation, they make their emergency orders, they talk about how much they care about the working person. But when it comes to unemployment benefits, the most ground level, street level of benefits, they get right person doesn't know how to even buy food when the paycheck isn't coming anymore. You need a quick turnaround on that check. It's a to me. We are in a situation today where nobody knows how to run anything in the government. They're all posers. 860-522-9842. That's my take on it. I'm tough on this stuff, I know. But that's because they steal so much money and squander so much wealth and steal so many futures. The least they could do in return is do the bare bones that they're charged with doing. Ed in North Haven, hi.
Hi, Todd. First, I was calling regarding a caller a couple callers ago, Bill. He said New York only received 400 ventilators from the federal government. Yesterday, they received 2,000 in the morning from FEMA and another 2,000 in the evening, 4,000.
Cuomo. I'm sorry, who received these?
The state of New York.
Okay.
FEMA delivered yesterday 4,000 total ventilators, 2,000 mm-hmm. in the morning and 2,000 in the evening out of the stockpile the United States government has.
Okay.
Cuomo was on yesterday showing a little nastiness. And I call him Cuomo's the big brother. Ned and Murphy from New Jersey are the little brothers. They go with Cuomo's lead. Whatever Cuomo's going to do, they do, number one.
Yes, they use him for cover because he's got the courage to lead.
That's right. They go with whatever he says. What New York's doing something, Connecticut's going to do it. That's how it works.
Yes.
But what Cuomo demanded was all the ventilators in the stockpile with the curve. I sort of get it, but they can't give them all the ventilators. And the only reason I mention it is Donald Trump mentioned yesterday, and he hasn't been challenged on it. Cuomo, back in 2015, the state of New York was going to buy 15,000 new ventilators, but yep. they said they were too much money for a future pandemic. Not this, but mm-hmm. a future pandemic. They didn't
yes.
do it. And he was the governor then. They didn't do it. Now it's Donald Trump's fault. It's the same thing. And in Connecticut, they received some ventilators. And they have expiration dates on them. I don't know what it is, 10, 20 years, because they stockpile them. Oh, they're beyond the expiration date. Do they work? Yes or no? That's the main thing. You're in a pinch. You improvise somewhat. The bureaucrats could never improvise, Todd. And what's going to happen with Connecticut, like Michael Savage used to say, liberalism is a mental disorder. With the way mm-hmm. Connecticut's going, they're going to put as much of this problem, long-term problem financially the state has, into this pandemic, unfortunately. And they're going to be having their hand out in their cup with Dr. Blumenthal and Dr. Murphy as much as they can.
Yes, of course. And they're going to claim victimhood because they're the experts of victimhood.
Yeah, and the kicker is a lot of the rich liberals, and they know who they are, the rich liberals, They'll be moving out of the state. They'll be moving down to Florida. They'll be moving to other states to shelter their money from Connecticut. And Connecticut will be in a downward cycle. We'll get out of this together. And one other thing, quick, Todd, I just want to say for the people from McDonald's to Walmart to the truckers, thank you. And when I go to stores, I thank them because they are important to this society. Yeah. They don't get enough thanks from people.
Everybody who's...
So really, you know, and Todd, we're going to get through it. We're going to talk about it in the future.
Okay, of course we are. Yes, we will win. Thank you, Ed. Great call. 860-522-9842. The one good point Ed made, they were all good, but one in particular I want to reiterate, and that is Cuomo got a bunch of ventilators, and he's mad that he didn't get everything the federal government has. And Ed's right. Their job is not just to take care of New York because it's the biggest disaster, it's the most mismanaged, or it's the first in line. Their job is to use those to mitigate the sharp edges of the biggest failures of the states that come along throughout the crisis. Let's see. Next up, Alex, New Britain. Hello, Alex.
Hey, how are you? I'm working on details of a party with my friend. We're going to throw a big party out in Litchfield. He's got a lot of acres out there. We're going to invite a lot of people who are just sick and tired of staying home. We're going to probably have like 30 kegs of beer. It'll take off like wildfire on Facebook, but anybody who wants to come is more than welcome. So just keep your Facebook open. I'm sure it'll spread like crazy.
So you're going to have a keg party on a farm in Litchfield?
Yeah, and anybody's invited, whoever wants to come. And they can't do anything about it. It's private property, and we could assemble as peacefully if we want. So
sure. And you can maintain distance?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're talking 30, 40 acres, maybe. I don't know. I think you said 38 acres, but 30 acres is manageable for a party. So,
yeah, that's good. If you got a full, like an acre each or something.
Yeah.
Half an acre each. I'm sorry. A third of an acre each.
Well, we're going to have a big old party. Watch Facebook for it. It's an open invitation to anybody who wants to come. So,
good luck with that, Alex.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call. I don't know. I'm content to stay home, but some people want to have their kegs. I understand. 860-522-4. Hello there. Wait a sec. Yeah.
Hey, I'm here.
Yes.
Hi, Todd. I've just been sitting and thinking and reflecting on all that's been going on the last couple of weeks. And it really is a wake-up call to us how dangerous it is to give government power. And I'm watching these Democrats, Democrat governors in deep blue states, steamroll their economy. Some of it's necessary, you know, for getting people away from each other, but some of it's just pure power grab. And we can't trust. If this doesn't teach us that we can't trust government with power, I don't know what will.
Give an example of what you view as a power grab, as opposed to, say, a fearful response, a knee-jerk, instinctive survival response. I'm in charge, and I'm going to look terrible if people are dying outside the emergency room.
I think what government, our governor is doing here by saying you're shutting your businesses down, and not doing what a good leader would do, which is talk to people instead of barking orders at them. That, to me, that's a huge problem in this, and an example of this abuse of power. Because what you would do is go have a conversation with somebody, or that's what I would do, or most of your listeners. He's just, I'm in charge. You're doing what I say because I can make you. And that the ramifications of this are going to be tremendous. And there are other parts of the country that aren't having these problems, and they deal with it very differently. I was just
like
in Tennessee, mm-hmm. which is where I'm going. We're moving there because I've had enough of this stuff, and I've watched the governor's response, and it's just like it's a smack in the. It's been a huge smack in the face to me. These people are dangerous. Oh, we're going to close gun stores. We're going to put criminals on the streets. We're not going to send the cops for violent crimes. And so some of this is not in Connecticut, some is, but this whole reaction. And in places in the red counties of Tennessee, they're just like, hey, guys, let's just take it easy. Let's do this. And then they have where Nashville is, which is a Democrat area, and that mayor down there is barking orders left and right. And you can see the stark difference between the two. And it's just This state is not going to function if this is how people running it behave. We're going to tell you what to do. You're going to do it our way. You're going to take your this, or you're going to take your that, or we're going to ban your guns, or all of that stuff. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, well, I think you're right about that. Thank you, Sean, for the call. As always, 860-522-9842. Tom in Canton, thank you, sir, for calling.
Hey, that guy with the party, I wish him luck, and I hope they don't all get sick. But, you know, I thought about the unemployment thing, and I don't see why they couldn't, once they know the person is a real person that's applying, just send them out a couple $100 so they have money for food until they get it sorted out.
Well, I would think you would just start the payments. You can always retro-investigate.
Exactly.
And make up for the lag as time goes on.
Send them some money. Let them survive. That's all I want to say. I don't want to comment on these other guys too much.
Okay. Thank you for that, Tom. Good to hear from you. No, that's right. So they can't keep up. The state can't keep up with the growth in unemployment demand. The Department of Labor doesn't know what to do. They're running 3 weeks behind. They were shooting for 3 days and to be able to fulfill an application for unemployment benefits. And you see, they're good at running around demanding money from Washington so they can give it out, but they can't even give it out. What does that tell us? Oh, my, my. How pathetic is that? They can't even give it out. And yet, you watch Ned have a press conference every day. There's a crowd of people around him. How about assigning some of those people over to the Department of Labor? Because that what they need hands over. Right? They need maybe even somebody with some management skill who can whip. Let's take a quick break. We'll continue the conversation on WTIC. WTIC, 4 o'clock, Ned's got a conference. That usually runs about a half hour. And then 5 o'clock, the Prez has one. And so we're getting some talking in when we can, trying to race through it. And Ken in Cheshire, hi.
Hey, Todd, regarding the date on the ventilators, on the face masks, the mm-hmm. date's put there by the manufacturer because the elasticity fails on that over time, and it won't hold the mask on properly. It's only for the straps that lose the, if they will, dry rot and won't hold the mask on properly. That's the simple reason for the expiration date on those masks. If somebody could retrofit and come up with a new elastic strap, those are completely usable because nothing else wears out.
Well, even from the manufacturer, though, the straps might be readily available.
Only a little common sense, we can solve the problem.
Well, where are we going to find that, Ken?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to work with you on it, so.
Thank you for that. All right, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. No, these are possibilities, and you hear this kind of reaction, like panic. Oh, I can't use these. Expiration. There's expirations on everything, everywhere we turn. It's a warning to be aware of a possibility most of the time. Not necessarily something definitive, but there you go. How hard can it be to find the straps? Chris in Lebanon. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Todd. How are you today?
I am doing just fine. What's on your mind, sir?
So, you know, this whole thing doesn't really smell right to me.
When I
was watching the news this morning, and I kind of out of the corner of my eye, I'm looking at the statistics that they're posting, and they're talking about 80 to 90,000 people worldwide being recorded as being infected, something like 18,000 dead. Quarter million infected, and like 18,000 dead, I think, at this point. And it makes me think that globally, at this point, we're barely at the level that we would lose in the United States annually from the flu. And then I saw another statistic that made me think, well, if New York has 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 cases, and let's say that they have 400 that have died, then my question to Cuomo was, if you have 6,000 cases, but you have 40-some thousand ventilators, and assuming that 8,000 cases probably only have maybe even half of those people needing ICU care, so doesn't that say that there's probably a lot of unused ventilators at this point and therefore no urgency for ventilators? I mean, even if it goes to 10 times the current usage, it probably isn't anywhere near their capacity.
I'm looking at a New York story from a couple of hours ago, and it says that the coronavirus cases has topped 30,000 in New York. And
in New York City?
But no, not the city. Cuomo's talking the state because he's the governor, okay. I think.
Right.
So we're talking 30,000 statewide. And, you know, I think the reason they're scared is they're looking at the patterns of this in other places and seeing how quickly the number of cases accelerates. And they also see that when people start going to the hospital in large numbers, that that's when the death rate starts to increase as well. So it seems to remain around 1.2% death rate until you get into the zone where there's a lot of people going to the hospital. And then suddenly the death rate goes up to, you know, wherever it ends up, 2.8, 3%. Something like that. So I think that's what they're scared of. It's all anticipatory because they've seen the patterns of how this thing behaves.
Well, I would expect that the state will be very consistent, or the states, I should say, they'll be very consistent with how they overestimate tax revenues and how they overestimate deaths from this disease. They'll be consistent.
You think those numbers will correlate? I suspect you're right, Chris. Thank you very much for the call. Good to hear from you. Thank you for that laugh there. Thomas, we've got about 45 seconds. What's up?
Very quickly, sir. I'm looking at a site called World-O-Meters, which is updated every 2 hours.
Yes.
And New York's total cases, 30,811, 4,463 deaths. Mm-hmm. The closest state is New Jersey with 4,402. And you know, my wife and I were talking about this. I mean, they have subways, tenements, International Business Center, largest probably sanctuary city in the country. You think that's contributing to this? Why is it so high down there?
Those all are good reasons to me.
And I just added up all of New England states. We're coming in at 2,830 cases, 2,830 throughout New England.
Yeah, and Connecticut looks very small inside of that. Thank you, Thomas. Yeah, it's WTIC. No president yet. As I suggested might happen, he's moved it to 5:30. And that could float again, so there we are. Michael calling from West Hartford. Hi.
Hi, Todd. This is Michael. I'm a first-time caller.
Awesome. Thank you so much for jumping in.
Yes, I just have a suggestion maybe to the governor and the state legislature that they might want to temporarily waive the bottle deposit fees until the bottle deposit return centers reopen.
Did they? That's interesting. And what would be the argument? Make the argument in case he's listening.
Well, the argument is that people are going to run out of storage space for their empty bottles. Where are they if they could throw they're going to end up throwing them away in the garbage, or you know, in the blue. Receptacles for instead of getting their bottle deposit returns refunds. So that might want to, that would be the reasoning behind waiving the bottle deposit fees temporarily.
Oh yeah, you do realize you're talking about money going into the government. And what do you think the likelihood is that they would voluntarily give up some of the incoming cash?
Probably very slim.
Yes. It's a good idea, If we had a responsible government that hadn't bankrupted the state, they might want to do something generous and kind like that. But they're like on crack. They need money so bad. Rick in Newington. Hi, Rick.
Hi. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I'd like to share an idea that's not all tongue in cheek.
Okay.
We know that leftism is a disease, so we need to reach out to those who suffer from it and might be feeling forlorn or desperate. How about an all-volunteer NGO comprised of recovering leftists, perhaps called Leftists Anonymous, with a motto of from darkness to light? I happen to have some course suggestions. How about a summer curriculum like this? Introduction to Common Sense.
Well, how about give me one more, then we've got to go.
You got to go. Logic 101.
Logic 101 wouldn't be bad either. All right, thank you for that, Rick. Sorry about that. We're on a tight schedule here. All right, we're going to, in just a moment, we'll talk to Frank Farriker, but now I want to hear Peter's reaction to the governor first. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. I actually got to tell you, I at times like this, I miss Malloy. I don't see zero leadership with Mr. Ned. He grandstands better than anybody, slams the president. Without even knowing some of the facts, or he may know the facts and just is a sociology major that's inept. I really don't know, but...
I was surprised he had the courage to confess that.
Yeah, I am too. Not really, because he does ignorant things, but, you know, I just look at some things, Todd, and I shake my head. And one thing I'm really upset about, not one of President Trump's press conferences, did somebody get up and say, you know, you're tireless, you're doing a great job, you're not responsible for this, but we're proud to have you? I haven't heard one compliment, and I think he's worked his butt off. And the last thing I want to leave you with is I've got a suggestion for Philosophy Friday.
Okay.
And that is, I would like the topic to be price gouging. And mm-hmm. I'd like to put a twist on it with Connecticut being the one doing the price gouging. Examples of that.
Yeah. All right. That's an interesting idea.
Okay, Todd. Hang in there.
Thank you for that, sir. Good to talk with you. 860-522-9842. Now let's go to our favorite anti-COVID-19 Democrat, Frank Farriker. Hello there, sir.
How are you today?
Well, I'm psyched to have you here. We're in the heat of the action. This is the time you want Farriker around.
Oh, man. Tell me about it.
There is so much going on. What's your reaction to all this? We got the presidential press conferences every day, the gubernatorial every day. We've got the intensity coming in New York and a freak out from Cuomo yesterday. What's your take on everything?
You know, it's just every day you need a new scorecard. You know, the fellow you just had talking about Ned Lamont, you know, maybe 5 days ago, I thought, you know, his letter to the state was pretty poor, and he doesn't seem to be much in, you know, like in direct control like a guy like Cuomo, or even to an extent like a guy like Trump. But every day this thing is changing, and, you know, from a political standpoint, it'd be rough to decide who's doing the right thing or not early. The only thing I know is that when this is all done, I don't care what's going to happen. It's just going to be a bloodbath politically, socially. You know, somebody said to me yesterday, and I think they were right. They said, it almost seems unfortunate that it's either going to be Donald Trump was right and reelected and the Democrats are going to get baked, or this thing's going to be really bad. And a lot of people, unfortunately, are going to die, and the Republicans are going to be baked. And that makes a lot of sense today. I don't know how much sense that's going to make in a week. this is, we've never seen anything like this before. You know,
it is a moving storm where you really just don't know what kind of move it's going to make, like one of those tornadoes that goes through and it just decides randomly, you know, it makes these erratic moves. And every day is different. Every day part is different in terms of what the data is showing and what you feel about this thing.
And but just from a gut standpoint, I am wholly unimpressed with the political reaction in Connecticut.
It's tragic.
It's tragic. And I just want to know why these guys and gals don't want to just stand up and take this opportunity to show us what their mettle is. I don't want to see about another state senator having a Facebook Live event from his or her house, or send out self-congratulatory emails about how.
All right, Frank, hold on one second. I'm going to interrupt you just so we can get our traffic and weather in, and then we can finish up our conversation with anti-toll Democrat Frank Farriker, former head of the State Lottery Commission. Continuing our conversation with Frank Farriker, if you were to give some guidance to Ned and the crew, do you have like a brief outline of how they could?
You know, it starts with you've just got to get the respect of the people you govern back. And, you know, George Bush was a lot of bad things in my view, not a bad man, but just a really bad president. But when he stood on that pile on September 13th with the bullhorn and his arm around the construction worker, nobody even gave a damn what he said. They just had this sense that there was somebody there who had the ability to come and take control, take charge of the situation. And that was on a national basis in a terrible circumstance. You know, Ned going on and saying schools are going to be out until the fall, and then folks have to back that up, you know, to walk that back a little bit. Every time they got to walk something back, even a little bit, it just makes the rest of us a little bit afraid of the fact that maybe they just don't have, you know, they don't have it going on. You know, he's got to do something bold, you know. Say, this is how much money that the state's going to throw out in the hospitals. This is whatever you got to do. But right now, there's no time that you can ever conceive of where people just need bold leadership. And it does, and 90% of it can just be cosmetic. But you've got to have the comfort, because if you have the comfort, then have the ability to do the hard things when this is all over. Because we are going to be plumb out of money when this crisis is over, and we're going to be completely out of ways to pay it back. And even when we did before the crisis, things are going to be awful. And if we know that we're led, people will probably do the right thing. If we're not led, it means that everybody's going to look for the edge for themselves. People are going to be they're not going to be comfortable with the things that they're saying, especially when they're telling us that we have to make sacrifices, which we know we're going to have to. We need that boldness. We just don't have it. A lot of people don't like Cuomo. They love what Cuomo's doing right now.
Yes.
You know, and Ned's got it. Ned's got to do something like that. And our state reps and state senators. And to me, the part that I'm really disturbed about is that we're probably not even going to have a chance to elect any different people come November, because all of this is happening at the point where we're nominating our legislators.
You know, and getting to know new candidates, too.
No new candidates, no way for people to primary, no nothing. I mean, it looks unfortunate, but it looks like the crew we got is the crew, the crew that did tolling is the crew that we're going to have to deal with when this all shakes out. And you know what? Ned could take charge of that. Ned could. You know, he didn't do it with the tolls, and he hasn't done it with a bunch of other things. But people want him to right now, Republican or Democrat. They just want to know we've got somebody powerful who's going to take us home. We don't have that, and I want to see that, and that's what he could do.
You know, it's interesting what you say about the take charge thing, because The president's poll numbers are up dramatically, you know, into the mid-50s. And that's about simply having somebody who feels like he's carrying this on his own shoulders.
I think he's blithering inanities out there with this Easter time and all that stuff like that. But you know what? I'm hooked up into this stuff. I listen to it. If I'm just somebody who's going about their work and politics isn't their thing and they're scared and they see a guy standing up there behind the great seal of the United States every day talking and looking, not looking like he's scared or he's sick or something like that, goes a long way. It goes an incredibly long way.
I love the picture you paint. It's so funny, but it's totally true. The most basic elements of how to communicate some sense of authority and confidence and being in charge are just missing here in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. And it's everywhere. It's Republicans, Democrats. I get myself subscribed to every that I can, every state rep or state senator's emails. I see what they're all putting out. Mm-hmm. And it's all manufactured by the party. It's all the same fonts and the same format and
same talking points, yeah.
Same talking points. And you get identical talking points from, you know, and it, come on. I mean, you know, I know it's a part-time job, but you're not doing anything right now. You know, Senator Fasano can, you know, spare some time to, you know, to go meet with these folks and tell us what the hell they're doing. But, you know, you don't see that, you know, Senator Looney, I don't know. You know, we just don't see it, you know, and they'll tell us, oh, behind the scenes, we're doing everything. This is not the time for that. This is the exact opposite time for that.
All right, Frank Farquhar, I'm glad we got to you today because you have a lot to get off your chest. And if you need more frequent visits than once a week, we can schedule something.
All right. I'll pick you up on that.
It'll be $80 for the session, but, you know.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you so much. Frank, anti-toll Democrat and still upset about what he's seeing from Democrats and Republicans. 860-522-9842. So the president was scheduled for a 5 o'clock press conference, which he pushed back to 5:30. So now he's scheduled for a 5:30 press conference. Will that happen? Or will we get another half hour to talk, which would be delightful? We'll see what happens. We never know with these folks. All right, well, look at that. Here we are once again. No Presidente as of yet. So we can talk. 860-522-9842. Love more time together, you and me. That's what it's all about. So hop on the phone and let's find out about what's going on. What did you think about what Frank Farquhar had to say in terms of his analysis of his own party's leadership in Hartford? That is, you know, it's great to have a Democrat, somebody who believes deeply in being a Democrat, be so upset with the Democrats. It just provides some context, I think, and it's good to have context. We need it. We need to hear people talking honestly and willing to say something bad about their own parties if that's what they think, because being honest with each other, you know, people like to complain about our state of mind. Our state of mind will be improved dramatically if we can be honest with each other. And, you know, that's my take on it anyway. George in Windsor Locks. Hi, George.
How are you?
I'm ready for you. What's going on? What do you think?
I got a couple of questions for you. Is this gift of running it from the government, is that considered taxable as ordinary income?
Well, probably is. I don't know. That's a good question. I would assume so. They like to tax everything, even if it's the money they just gave us.
Okay. How about people that are on Social Security? Will they also get the check, even though they're retired?
Well, it's, I believe, what I've heard, I don't know if this is still accurate. What I heard a couple of days ago was that there would be a means test to it. That is, if you, the household made over 150 or 100,000, I forget what. So Social Security wouldn't make you disqualify. That's still the case.
Okay, but is your opinion that the lower income people, it would be taxable?
Yeah, but
Well,
it's
the reason
not,
I ask you, a family of four that gets around $3,000 has to save out, if they're in the 15% category, have to save out $450 of that government gift. That's my concern.
Yes. Well, if you're if that's where your taxes are, then I think so. But until we have a chance to see this thing, which was put together at the speed of light for in terms of how legislation is done, it'll take a while for all that to be fleshed out.
Okay,
we'll let you know, though, George, when it happens. Thank you so much for the phone call. 860-522-9842. And let's go to Bob in Enfield next. Hi, Bob.
How you doing? You know what I noticed? You had to be careful when you talk to politics to people because they wouldn't talk about Trump too much. They seem to be afraid. But now they're talking right up front. He knows what he's doing. He's making America great. You know, the people are talking very positive, and they're coming forward. They're bringing up the subject. They wouldn't bring it up before.
Well, are these people who are Republican voters and pro-Trump anyway? Do you think they're just feeling more confidence?
Yeah, they seem to be more confident, and they think Biden's the biggest jerk in the world.
Well, that's a pretty easy assessment to come to, that Biden is a lightweight. And one of the things I think that Biden will have trouble with is day in and day out we're seeing these Trump press conferences where he demonstrates such authority. And it drowns out any messaging from the Democrats. It's going to be very difficult for him to break back in and make up the lost ground, I think.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Trump's a leader, and that's what we need right now.
In his own interesting way, he commands authority and attention. Tony,
really
hi.
For him to break back in and
turn that radio down.
Absolutely.
All right, Tony, I'll put you back on hold. You've got to listen on the phone because we have a delay, and that delay messes things up. You know the famous 7-second delay? We've got one of those, and that is what confuses things if you don't just listen on the phone so that you're in the same time frame as I am. We're in different universes. That's what's going on, different orbits, the whole thing. So the president was scheduled for a 5:30 press conference. It hasn't happened as of yet, as you can tell. So we will keep doing radio for you in our usual fashion. If you wish to take part, you may, by calling in 860-522-9842. It's a big day because now we're living in this new world where the thing is hitting New York big time. The money is hitting. The federal response is hitting big time. And now we've got all that new energy to flesh out. We'll talk more coming up if all is well on WTIC. Let's find out how the ride home is going. Mike Allen watches the roads. These days there's not a lot to see, but he's watching from the Brown, Painderas, and Scott Traffic Center. Mike, what are you looking at?
Well, Todd, I'm looking at a pretty good flow of traffic overall. Of course, volume is light, as you just hinted at, but we still have our problems here and there. Crews are in the final phases of cleaning up an accident. Eastbound 84 in Middlebury, between exits, I just lost it. Let's get it back again. Between exits 17 and 18, everything's on the right shoulder. It's on a curve, though, so you might want to plan on getting out of that right travel lane as you come around that area. Also, in Waterbury, 84 westbound, left lane is closed between exits 22 and 21. That's through Monday morning around 6 o'clock for daytime road work. Traffic and weather together on the 8th, WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC weather.
So cloudy, the first thing this evening. Still a few sprinkles of rain scattered about. Partly cloudy late tonight and chilly, low 31, but turning milder tomorrow. Partly sunny, high 55. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, a low 39. Mostly cloudy on Friday with occasional rain. And a high of 54. Right now it is 43 in Farmington. It's 42 degrees in South Glastonbury and 45 in Hartford. This is meteorologist Bob Larson of the WTIC Weather Center.
This is an American Red Cross blood donation alert. We are currently facing a severe blood shortage during this coronavirus outbreak. Healthy blood and platelet donors are asked to make an appointment to give now. Donating blood is safe and can help save lives. Cancer patients, accident victims, and so many others continue to need life-saving blood. Please schedule your appointment now by visiting redcrossblood.org or by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. You can make a difference.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Behold, the answer to your hunger, the big mouthful of flavor, double cheeseburger. That's double the melty American cheese and double the juicy beef for just $2. And the answer to your thirst? Behold, the ultimate refresher and ice-cold Coca-Cola. Right now, you can pick up any size Coke for just a dollar more. Only on McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
I have epilepsy, but I have more confidence than fear.
I have more freedom.
I have more of my life back.
At Hartford HealthCare's Eye or Neuroscience Institute, we give you more ways to control seizures and the symptoms that come with them using a team approach and cutting-edge technology to personalize your treatment.
I have epilepsy, but now I'm in control.
Control epilepsy, seizures, and your life with Hartford HealthCare's Eye or Neuroscience Institute. Learn more at hartfordhealthcare.org/epilepsy.
Your future is at your fingertips, online and on your time. Don't let being shut in shut you out from your future success. Let distance learning take you farther than you've ever imagined. Our career-focused degree options will position you to be successful in today's uncertain economy. Earn a degree that will lead to in-demand employment and will prepare you for career success. Join Goodwin University's online learning community today. Visit goodwin.edu/online. Start classes May 11th.
Are you ready to switch mobile providers? Spectrum Mobile is a better way to mobile, delivering the fastest overall speeds and the most reliable mobile service coast to coast. And now we're bringing you 5G with faster speeds for an even better mobile experience. And of course, we have the latest 5G phones. Speed, reliability, value. Spectrum Mobile, a better way to mobile, now with 5G. Visit spectrum.com/mobile for details and to find a store near you.
The station Connecticut checks first for the latest weather. WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yeah, yeah, here we are. 860-522-9842. Tony, what's going on?
Yeah, Todd, I'm so sorry. Earlier, I dropped my phone. I lost the call.
That's quite all right.
But listen, you got a great show. I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you, sir.
A lot of us do here at the church. Actually, we listen to you sometimes more than WFAN in New York, so that's pretty good, isn't it?
Well, I would hope so. Gee.
But you still got a ways to go to beat Mike Francesa. You know that.
All right. If you say so, I'll work on it.
No offense intended. Listen, real quick, I heard on TV news or Channel 3, I don't know, I'm a small business owner, DBA, with the marketing and consulting and stuff like that, business to business. And you know, the business is taking a beating, and so are we, because we have nobody to approach and help out. Can you give me a phone number of somebody at the state level that we can call and find out if we can get some funds, because there's supposed to be something in the works, right, Todd?
Yes, there's all kinds of stuff in the works. But in terms of what number you call, I don't know offhand. I'll find out for you, though, and we'll announce it.
Would you know who to contact? Would it be somebody in Governor Lamont's office for, you know, some type of monetary aid?
You know what? Send me an email. Will you do that? And then I'll forward it to somebody who can help you. Want to do that?
Okay.
My email
I'll send you my email. And
correct. I'll forward
then,
that.
And then you'll email me back with somebody to help me with it. Yeah, they must be doing something for small businesses, right, Todd?
Well, they will be. I doubt they've got it organized yet, but drop me a note. And
okay.
How long
do you think it'll take, sir? A month?
You mean for that kind of money to process?
Yeah, for that kind of financial assistance from the state.
Their goal is to work really fast because they know that the infrastructure of the economy requires the money getting in people's hands. So I would guess a couple of weeks, but that's just a guess. I don't know.
Okay. And if you're a DBA small business owner, which I am, you would qualify, wouldn't you?
I would think, but I don't know. You know, I think you're exactly what their target is. They want people like you to be strengthened, but it's always a mistake to put too much confidence in the government. So, you know, I'm just talking off the top of my head, best case scenario. Tim in Hamden. Hello there, Tim.
Well, Todd, it's all going to be over by Easter, and we should all pack the churches shoulder to shoulder. Oh, that's what the president said, right? So I'm just, you know, as a professional Trump hater, we try to, back off a little bit, give the man, a little bit of room and everything, but he just continues and continues, and I'm afraid, we've set up, unrealistic expectations. If the president says that, it's all going to be essentially over, we can loosen all these stringent things, and if maybe have a second wave of infections coming in. I wish he'd just get up there and say this is the facts, and let Dr. Fauci and everybody else, do the bulk of the talking.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know. But, since you seem to have the, the direct line to this man, I mean, he just continues. I mean, we want this country to succeed. I don't want the president to, drive this crazy, this country into the ground. I'm applauding the fact that they're trying to do something to help, everybody out there. But if you're going to get up on national television and say that, you're setting a goal of Easter to, to pack the churches, I'm just going, what?
Well,
it's too much.
He's addressing, he's putting a new narrative in here, which is we can't just look at it one way, that it's going to be 6 months, 9 months, a year, 18 months of stopped world, that we can't do that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. He's erratic by nature. He speaks impulsively and impetuously. Okay. So you have to kind of put a little filter in and not
get
excited.
Everybody wants a good cheerleader, but is it kind of dangerous to say, in a couple of weeks by Easter that everything is pretty much hunky-dory?
Well, he didn't say that.
He just
said he would like to have things returning to normal come Easter. He's setting that as a goal. I think he realized that as soon as he got back to his office, because he hadn't thought about it before, that it wasn't going to happen that fast, and he backed off. But you can absorb that kind of shock to your system and move on.
I don't know. The way it's not to me. I've grown, callous to his bizarre remarks, but I think that everybody else is sitting there going, okay, let's do this. Let's all pull together. Let's try to get the economy, going again and that sort of thing. But
Tim, the bright side is he's articulating options and pushing back against shutting it down forever. And that's a good thing, it seems to me. So, traffic time. Let's check in with Mike Allen, find out what the word is from the Brown, Painderas, and Scott Traffic Center. Mike.
Thank you, Todd. Well, this traffic report is brought to you by Hooker and Holcomb. We still have an accident eastbound 84 in Middlebury. It's between exits 17 and 18. Everything's on the right shoulder. It looks like they're heading down the home stretch, but it's on a sharp curve in that area, so you'll want to use caution, maybe push out of that right travel lane as you move by exit 17. Give them a little bit of room through there. In Waterbury on westbound 84, there's some road work between exits 22 and 21. Closes the left lane. That'll remain in effect for the rest of the week, right through Monday morning. So you'll have to make that shift through there. Add that to your travel time if you can. And the state DOT wants everyone to know that service plazas and rest areas remain open at this time for those that need those services. Employers, is it time to ignite your employees' interest in their retirement with a modern plan design? Hooker and Holcomb has been providing companies with innovative retirement plan solutions since 1956. Get the most out of your plan today. Visit hhconsultants.com. Traffic and weather together on the 8th, WTIC News Talk 1080.
Weather-wise, look for cool temperatures overnight down to 32 degrees. Tomorrow, a bit of sun, a bit of cloudiness. They take turns. High temps around 56 degrees tomorrow. Friday, mostly cloudy and some rain possible with a high temperature in the mid-50s once again. Right now, our temperature 43 at WTIC. 860-522-9842. So the president has officially moved the 5 p.m. press conference start time that was rescheduled for 5:30 on to 6 o'clock. So we've got time to talk, and we've got empty phone lines if you'd like to jump in. I would love to hear your opinion on any of the things going on and that we have discussed. Did you hear the Andrew Cuomo? I love the Andrew Cuomo sound going after the president. And by the way, I should have said this to Tim, but one of the things I like about Andrew Cuomo talking like this is the cover that he provides. Well, the balance he provides to what the president does. Here is another feisty, belligerent politician.
The country needed materials to go to war. They didn't, when we went to war, we didn't say, any company out there want to build a battleship? Who wants to build a battleship? Maybe a couple of you guys could get together and build a battleship. Maybe a couple of you guys could get together and build us some missiles. Maybe, you think. Anybody want to build a plane? You know, we're going to need planes. They're sending planes at us and they're dropping bombs. Anybody want to do that?
I think that's great. There he is being everything that Trump is in terms of how he presents himself. There he's doing it. He's going after the White House. He's going after the federal government for not giving him everything he needs. And I think that's not a bad thing to do for a governor, but because he's coming across as being devoted to what his people need. He's expressing outrage. And the job of somebody who is acting as a representative is to speak in the voice of the people he's representing, to feel the things that the people he's representing are feeling, and to be able to channel those feelings out into the world so people feel themselves represented. It is appropriate for there to be some frustration, and it's good to have that expressed. It makes people connect to a leader. Now, that doesn't mean this attitude of everything should be coming from Washington is right. It's wrong. And we are getting weaker as a nation, it seems to me, because we keep looking at the world through this new prism of everything is free, and not just government will give you everything, but the federal government will give you everything. It's kind of embarrassing. But you see the difference between Ned and Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo sounds tough and leaderly while he's blaming Washington. And Ned doesn't. I think that's what Frank Farriker was talking about earlier, is Ned's not pushing any aggression into the conversation. He's just whining about how he's looking for free stuff. 2 minutes till the president? Is that what you're saying? Okay, that's the news. Elaine in Manchester, hi.
Hi. I can barely hear you.
Well, I can hear you fine, and
okay.
Go ahead and make your point.
I'm calling. I'm concerned about when people are bringing in their grocery bags into the stores. As far as I'm concerned, they're already contaminated in their home, and they're telling people that they should be washing those bags. So they're putting those bags into the carriages. Then you're putting your food in it. And then the next person comes along, that carriage is contaminated. I feel that.
Well, wait a sec. Not just the. Yeah, you're right. Not just the carriage, by the way, but how about the hands of the baggers who are taking
those
bags?
Right. Of course, I know in the store I've seen that the baggers are wearing gloves, which is fine. They're protecting themselves. They should really be changing their gloves between every person.
Elaine, I'm sorry, I've got to hold you right there because we're going to the president for a press conference. Oh, sorry, Elaine. We're not going to the president yet. But so I'm sorry I had to cut you off. But Yeah, you made a good point. It is. It's a good point. Now we're going to the president on WTIC.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.